Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Blessed Handmaidens of Yah and Yahoshua on the Israelite Heritage Radio Network. Live with Acelia, Celia, and Zariah. Thursdays at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. Blessed Handmaidens of Yah and Yahoshua is the women's ministry of Israelite Heritage, brought to you by the Israelite Heritage Radio Network, hosted through blogtalkradio.com.
Shalom, family, and welcome back to BHYY Radio. Welcome back, welcome back. We hope that your week is going well and that your day has gone smooth so far. This is the Blessed Handmaidens of Yah and Yahoshua Radio Show, hosted through blogtalkradio.com, coming to you every Thursday at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. Y'all know how we do it. I'll be your host this evening. My name is Acelia Yisrael, along with the ladies holding it down on the panel. Y'all know we get hot and heavy. Shalom, ladies. Peace. How are y'all doing tonight?
Shalom, shalom, my sisters. This is Uriah. Oh, I pray everybody's having a blessed night. And by the way, that was the jam. That's that old jam. Yes.
Yes, yes, it definitely was the jam. Shalom, family. It's Celia. How y'all be?
Doing well. We be good. We be good. So we definitely got to give special peace out to the ladies listening on the phone lines, those of you listening in the chat room, and those of you who will be listening to this later on in the archives or through social media, whenever and however you are listening to us tonight. Special peace goes out your way. Women on a mission, right? That's what we're talking about tonight. We're discussing women on a mission, and that can cover just so many different aspects. So we definitely have a lot to put down on the table tonight. Now, a mission can be defined as a body of persons sent to perform a service or carry out an activity, right? So it's a specific task or job that a person or a group has been charged with, right? So when we talk about women being on a mission, women charged with a certain specific activity or task to do, right? And so we know that we are here to share Yah's love by stretching our hands to the poor and to the needy in the compassion of Yahushua the Messiah, right? And that's the basic description of a blessed handmaiden of Yah and Yahushua. You know, we are women on a mission because the fact of the matter is that there are women and children out in the world, you know, our sisters and our nieces and mothers and aunts and so forth and so on, who are waiting to receive what Yah has to offer them through his servants. And so it's just that time that we really understand our mission, and it's time for us to put ourselves in the position to let our light shine, you know, because it's not just about us. And that's one thing I think that we have to understand, is that it's not just about you. You know, it's not just about sitting here and preaching to the choir and all of that. No, we have been charged, right? We've been commissioned to go out and to share what we have to offer with the world, building women up and children and all of that good stuff. But I'm not going to go too much in it because I definitely want the panel to go ahead and open us up in discussion tonight. So let's talk about it, ladies. A woman on a mission. What does that mean? I mean, let's hit it hard and heavy. Let's get into it. Let's talk about it.
So yes. excuse me. Yes, a woman on a mission. Every day, when you're trying to live the right way, when you're trying to live a righteous way, you know, you need to wake up on a mission. And that mission starts with trying to be a better person than you was the day before, you know. And it sometimes requires you taking a daily inventory of things that you may have been lacking the day before and waking up to, you know, get better in that area the next day. You know, we are women striving for perfection. So every day is a mission for us, whether that is to be a better sister, a better mother, a better servant, first and foremost, you know, a better wife in all areas of our life. Every day, the goal should be perfection, you know. And like I said, sometimes it requires you taking a daily inventory. You know, some things that you did today, you don't want to do that tomorrow. You know, it's about growth. Always evolving, always getting better, and being on a mission and staying on your mission, staying on your primary purpose in this life. And we all know that is to eventually make the kingdom. So with that being said, you have to keep your eyes on the prize. You have to stay focused, and you have to do some groundwork because it takes work to become perfect. So we're constantly on a mission.
Absolutely, yeah, that's absolutely right. And I love that how you said that, because basically what you're saying essentially is that just waking up every day with a purpose, you know. And I really love that because it's a practical thing that we can implement into our lives. Like, okay, today I have something that I can do that can make me a better person. Today I have a literal, because I think when we talk about missions and purposes, we kind of, the way we think about it in our mind becomes overwhelming because we look at it as one complete whole thing, you know. Of course we know kingdom bound, number one, kingdom come. Of course we know being perfect and all of that, but I think it's important to know that there are steps that lead us to where we need to be in our lives. And so if we take it one day at a time and say that not only do I have a purpose in life in general, but I have a purpose today. I have something that needs to be accomplished today that's going to help me become a better person. And then tomorrow I have a purpose tomorrow that's going to move me closer to helping me be a better person.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I started doing again that I think was very important when our sister Tahlia spoke of getting off the porch. One of the things that's very important to building a sisterhood, because here's the thing, when we're trying to live a certain lifestyle, sometimes, you know, not sometimes, but all the time, the sisterhood is important so that we can bounce things off of other women that's thriving as well, so they can hold us accountable sometime when we're slacking. And what I started doing is reaching out to different sisters just to build a sisterhood and a net of women that could depend on each other, to hold each other accountable, to lift each other up, to encourage each other, because we're all on the same mission with the same purpose in mind. You know, building sisterhood and being able to get outside of the committee in your own head sometimes can save you a lot of drama. You know, sometimes you have to call a sister and be like, hey, I was thinking this, you know, what do you think I should do? You know, and that all falls in place with being a woman on a mission and dealing with women that's on the same mission that you're on, so that you can all together be successful in this mission.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love that. And again, that's another practical step, ladies, that you can kind of put into your back pocket, so to speak, and take with you. You know, that's something that can be done in literal terms, you know what I'm saying, something that we can do, because, I mean, two heads is better than one, you know, and it's a great way. I think we touched on this a little bit, maybe last week, if not last week, the week before then, just talking about how just having someone to sort of hold you accountable. Not, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you're doing something to please anybody. That's not, let's get over that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm also not saying that you know, depending on somebody. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is having somebody to hold you accountable in the sense to where you know this person is about their business. You know this person is serious about their walk. You know this person is going to be on it. And sort of having that, as Raya just talked about, that does help a little bit as far as, you know, as far as the sisterhood is concerned and us building us ourselves up. And I like that you talked about that because, you know, another thing when I think about women being on a mission, what I've noticed is that many Israelite women become focused on trying to be teachers instead of focusing and understanding our role or our job and how to be of service in this role. And when I say try to be teachers, I'm not talking about teaching and supporting and building up women and children. I'm talking about teaching the nation, you know, something that has not been put into the woman's hand to do. You know, I'm talking about trying to step into the man's shoes. And while there's nothing wrong with sharing information and all of these things, I think that as we, y'all know how sometimes, you know, we can get comfortable after we've been in the knowledge of something for so long, you start to get comfortable. And I think that we become enthralled with all of these other things that our focus becomes less and less on our duties within the sisterhood and more so on those other things. Listen, there's nothing wrong with, you know, women passing out flyers and DVDs and us trying to, you know, share knowledge, but we need to not forget about the basics of it all, you know, and it's to the point to where we are no longer content with teaching women how to properly clean or building our sisters up or how to start businesses or how to serve mm-hmm. our husbands and the prestigious position of helpmate that exists becomes lost to us because, in truth, we don't want to be queens. We want to be kings. We want, you know, we don't want husbands because what we really want to do is rule. So our children become wayward because, again, we're talking about a woman's mission here. So in addition to your individual homes, it applies all the way around. Our children become wayward because they don't have mothers to teach them womanhood because the woman want to go out there and do what the man is doing. The children are being neglected, and then they grow up, and they become adults who contribute to the world, you know, who contribute nothing but violence and hatred to the world, and then they have children themselves, and now this cycle repeats itself because somehow we've forgotten about the role of the woman and how she directly contributes to the outcome of the future. We talk about being providers for our children and food and clothing and shelter, but see, that's just one small part of it. I mean, you know, having a job or having a career and putting food on the table, all of that does not alone train up a child. There's a lot more that goes with that, largely dependent upon the teamwork of both man and the woman. So you see, again, we talk about women being on a mission. That mission is to build strength within the position that we've been given. And, yes, women can be queens, and, yes, women can be warriors. Yes, women are queens, women are warriors. But within that mission in itself, you know, we got to know where we are ruling at, and we got to know where our strength is to be directed to. You know, how are women in the world, how are they supposed to understand how to take care of their families when there's no one there to teach them that, how to raise their children, how to properly clean their homes? There are women who don't know how to clean properly, cook properly, how to build businesses for their communities. Where are all of these lost women of the world supposed to learn that from if all the Israelite women want to do is teach lessons and stand before assemblies as men? We need to get back to our first love and understand that the breakdown of the so-called black family structure only leads to the breakdown of the Israelite nation as a whole, and that's why our mission is so important, because if our salvation is directly linked to our submission and our goals should be, then our goal should be perfecting submission so we can go out there and teach other women how to do the same. And so like we talked about, we got to get back to the root of the problem, because, yes, we need to know we are Israel, and we need to know the history, and we need to understand the laws and commandments, and we want to go out there and witness and all this, but don't leave out the first critical aspect of the mission that's there, or all of that other stuff is going to be fruitless, you know. So, and again, I'm just saying, you know, within the Israelite community, that's something we see a lot. You know, women want to, you know, break down this and that, and that's all well and good, but your strength and where you grow at and where you perfect, once you perfect submission, and then you go out there and you teach the other woman to perfect submission, and you go out there and teach the other, and that woman go and teach another woman how to take care of her man and how to build up her man and how to build up her home and how to build up her community and how to build up her nation, and that woman go, and the line all so forth down the line repeats itself. Where do you think our nation would stand? It would be strong. Why? Because everybody is doing what they are supposed to do. The men are doing what they are supposed to do in leading. The women are doing what they are supposed to be doing. The children are doing what they are supposed to be doing. And so as we talk about tonight, the mission, our mission, both on the individual aspect of doing everyday things that are important for us to do, all the way up to the greater aspect of who we are and what our role is as women and how we're supposed to be using this to reach people. Listen, you don't have to be so quick to go and try to, you know, this is what this scripture means and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's good, but we got to start at the foundation, because if a woman don't know how to take care of a man, if a woman don't understand submission, if a woman don't understand how strong she is within her home and within her society in general, none of that other stuff is going to matter. So let's start at the foundation, too. Like, that's something we can't forget. We have a lot of topics on this show that we talk about, but let's not forget that. Like, the woman's role, where we're strong at, where we're queens at, all of that starts at the very foundation of that family life.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that was, you know, you all said so many beautiful things, and everything that both of you ladies were speaking is just right on point. And definitely some of the things that I was thinking about as you all were discussing the matter, you know, it's a blessing that we're actually having this show tonight. All I can say is hallelujah, because it allows us as women to bring things back in perspective, because EC, you and Zariah touched on it. You know, we wake up in the morning and we go on about our lives, and some of us do feel purposeless. A lot of us do feel empty. A lot of us do feel as if we have a void, that we're blank. And it's just such a blessing that we're putting things back into perspective tonight. See, because we were designed and created to fulfill a certain mission in a unique type of way. You know, the Father has given us unique qualifications to do what we need to do. You know, we are uniquely built to love in a special way, to nurture in a special way, to understand, to communicate. You know, these are things that Yah has designed us uniquely to do. You know, and it's just so beautiful that we're talking about it tonight, because, you know, a lot of us women, and this is just women in general, this is not exclusive to the knowledgeable Israelite that, you know, that knows she's a servant of Yah. You know, we got to talk about the sisters who don't know they're Israelites. You know, there are women, you know, our women as a whole, we are striving to be a better woman, and we may not know how to do it. We may not know how to get started. I mean, we have a certain idea, but truly, you know, just like you were saying, EC, that's the foundation of our mission. You know, we have to, we can't forget about that. You know, the Hebrew woman who's working outside of the home, you know, she's professional, she's this, she's that. You know, sometimes she forgets that, hey, she needs to turn back and pick up her sisters to come along with her. I mean, we hear about that all of the time in the world. You know, you may have a group of friends to where a certain sister is more, let's say, professionally inclined. She's college educated. You know, she got a good corporate job. But you know what I'm saying? She kind of leaves behind her other homegirls. She don't see about her other sisters anymore.
Right.
Because, you know, she's so focused on this particular mission. But see, the mission that we have been given is to help, is to serve. So it is to bring up our other sister. It is to, you know, encourage our men and, you know, teach our children. And, you know, the more I keep hearing you all say the word mission, you know, let's not forget about the ability to commit to something. You know, a lot of us have become so casual at what we do and how we do it. And this is something that, you know, Yah had placed on my heart a long time ago about commitment, and I'm learning it more and more and more. You know, if you have a mission, if you've been given a mission, you have to stay committed to it. You can't be casual. You can't be sporadic. You can't be periodic. You got to stay on top of it. And, you know, the world that we live in has, you know, has done such a great job of giving us so many images and, you know, to desensitize us and to make us forget and to make us fall away and draw back from our mission. You know, that's why I say hallelujah. It's such a powerful topic, and I pray that everybody who's listening, that it blesses them in the way that it should be, because many of us are out there saying, wow, you know, well, what am I supposed to do? You know, I'm married, but I still feel like I'm lost in my marriage. You know, I'm a mom, but I feel like that's all that I do. You know, I'm a professional, but is that all I have in life? So it's so beautiful that we're talking about it tonight, and I just pray that, you know, it blesses everyone that's hearing it tonight.
One of the things that sometimes as women we get lost into doing everything so robotically and doing it because we know this is what we have to do, but we're not really putting our heart and our all into it. You know, we haven't really mastered and became comfortable with being what we were created to be. You know, we got a lot of stuff going on, and like I said, things are done without any feeling involved. And a lot of times you're going to find yourself feeling empty, you know, because you haven't really accepted your Yah-given mission. And that is to be all the things that the sisters just said, nurturers, to take care of your family, to be all the things that a woman's supposed to be instead of trying to be in control of everything. You know, it hit me the other day because I was talking to EC on the phone, and I was like, man, a few years ago, you know, I have one of those cousins who, when you have born days and stuff like that, she gives you books and all that type of stuff. And at the moment she gave it to me, I was like, oh, okay, thank you. But thinking about it now, you know, fast forward, the name of the book was The Purpose-Driven Life. And sometimes I know we can get so caught up that we forget what our purpose is. We forget what our mission is. You know, I listened to what EC was saying about, you know, us wanting to teach. Understand that if you stay obedient long enough, your gift will be revealed to you. And everybody is not gifted to be a teacher. You know, prior to coming in this truth, one of the things that I wanted to do was be a counselor. And right now, you know, even without me, a lot of times people will call me to ask for advice about things that they know they can be comfortable with me talking about and things that I've experienced because I always make my life an open book, you know. And I think and I say, man, I'm feeling down on myself and I'm feeling, you know, that I'm not enough and I might be feeling some type of way. And then those type of things put things back into perspective for me because it's like, yeah, I got a purpose, even if it is to help my sister to not walk into the brick wall that I walked into. You know, even if it's to give her my story so that I can save her. Because we talk about a lot of things, but sometimes we don't dig deep enough because a lot of women got deep-rooted issues that need to be talked about. Yeah, it's okay that, you know, you have women at home and they're doing what they have to do for their husbands because thus saith Yah. But are they doing it because they've accepted the fact that this needs to be done and this is who they are and this is a part of their mission?
Right. I love that. Kane. Man, man, y'all hit it. Let me see, what time do we have? I think we're coming up on a break, but that's, you hit it on the head. That's what it is right there. And I loved how you brought up because it brought both of your points together. I love, Salaya, how you talked about how, you know, there are women who feel empty and there are women who feel this such a way, and then how we bridged it, Zariah, with, like, once you have come to accept, man, that acceptance is deep, and that may even require a whole nother show within itself. And I can definitely see you as a counselor, Zariah. But, like, that acceptance is deep because you talked about the robotic thing, and I kind of want to go back to that. Like, are you doing this, what you just said, you know, submitting to your husband and doing all these things because you've accepted it and it has become part? Like, basically, do you want to do it or are you just doing it because you know you have to do it? You know, and in a lot of cases, ladies, you know how it is when you do something that you know you have to do, but if you had a choice, you wouldn't do it, just like those of you who, you know, you got 9-to-5 jobs and stuff like that, and it's like, man, if you could work for yourself, you wouldn't even be doing this, but you got bills to pay. So you're like, man, you're committed to that, but only because you have to do it. And so the same thing applies to this walk, too. It's like, do you really believe in it? Do you really... have you become one with that? Like, you know, do you love it? You know, have you accepted, like Zariah said, have you really accepted what your mission is, or are you doing it just because you know that you're supposed to do it? And then if you're doing it just because you know you're supposed to do it, but you don't really want to do it, you kind of like, yeah, I guess, and you just going through the motions, oh, it's easy to become burdened down and tired and purposeless.
Exactly.
It's easy for that to happen. And also, I love how you all talked about once you have walked into the door of obedience, right, just had that replay, it becomes clear what your mission is that you're supposed to do. And I think that we try to force ourselves or we try to find what it is. Y'all see what I'm saying? Like we try to think about what is my purpose is, what I'm supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be obedient. And if you are committed to that, if you are committed to the basics, then it becomes clear over time what Yah wants you to do even more deeply. Like, we know the basis that we're supposed to be doing, but it's about perfecting that. And then as things evolve, Yah starts to speak to you more and more. You start to get even more understanding as to how you can take this and elevate it, basically.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, trying to fit into a role that's not for you, you know, and that alone can cause issues within itself, you know. Stay on the track to what your mission is, you know, and stop trying to be on somebody else's mission. You know, stop trying to wear a size 6 when you wear a size 9.
Right. Well, indeed. Good point. Yeah, that's true, you know. And you know, it is true, exactly what both of you all were saying, you know, once you focus on being obedient, and what is obedience? You know, obedience is described and is showed in the Bible, in the scriptures, through the laws, the statutes, and the commandments. That's where you start. You start there. And once you begin to focus on that, once that becomes your primary mission, then everything else will fall into line. And, you know, and I'm just speaking from personal experience, you know, you do truly have to stop focusing on other people. And ladies, you're going to have to come to the grips with the fact that you're going to have to stop focusing on your man so much. I'm just going to put it out there. You focus so much on him and what he may be doing and how he's doing it until you forget that you got your own primary mission to be obedient to Yah. Okay?
Well,
you forget that. You forget it. And I'm telling you, I'm only telling you something that I know because I've lived it. Once I've stopped focusing on my husband so much, and this was years ago. This was years ago. Once I stopped putting that primary focus on him and what he was doing and trying to bust it down, A, B, C, D, E, you know, once I stopped and said, okay, let me do what I really need to do, which is focus on being obedient, learning these scriptures, learning to hear Yah's voice, and learning to be obedient and doing what he tells me to do in that certain kind of way. At that moment, my life changed. And it didn't take, you know, now that I look back, it didn't take very long. But let me tell you, during that learning period, during that period that I walked through the door of obedience, my life changed and I, you know, my purpose came back to me. And honestly, I was okay with what I was doing because I felt fulfilled. And I was happy about it. No one could tell me any different. That's how I knew that it was truth to me in my heart, in my spirit, in my soul, because it felt good. And it felt like, wow, I was always supposed to be here. And then Yah allowed me to walk into certain blessings.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, ladies, it looks like we are at break time. It's time to go ahead and cool down a little bit, go and get some water. It's getting hot and heavy over here tonight, boy, I'll tell you that. So let's go ahead and throw it back. It is Throwback Thursday, and we are throwing it back. We got a little bit of reggae in the mix. Now, I ain't going to do the little accent because I don't want to embarrass myself, you know. So we got a little something different for y'all tonight. So let's go ahead and throw it back and go ahead and lift them heads up with Lift Up Your Head, Everton Blender. All right? Let's go ahead and throw it back. We'll be back.
Striving for better, and we're not gonna stop till the battle is won and we get justice. Cause if you lose your stand, anyone will try to push you over, over and over. Lift up your head and hold it up high. Bible speaks false and they worry. They endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And if you lose your soul, there's nothing to gain, it will be over.
Handmaidens of Yah and Yahoshua on the Israelite Heritage Radio Network. Live with Acelia, Saliah, and Zariah. Thursdays at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time.
And welcome back, family. Welcome back to BHYY Radio. Hope everyone is doing well. Once again, that was Everton Blender, Lift Up Your Head. And got some powerful lyrics there. I was taking note of some of the lyrics there. And don't forget that this is a live call-in show. I forgot to mention that, but y'all know that already. That guest call-in number is 319-527-6302. Again, 319-527-6302. And if you are ever having trouble with that number, you can always try the other one, 347-633-9606. We're a little special up in here tonight on BHY already. We the only people got two numbers, you know. We're a little special, so you can try either one of them. And ladies, we haven't had any letters coming in, but we definitely want to let you know that you are more than welcome to write Blessed Handmaidens if you are not feeling if you don't want to call in, but you have questions, comments, concerns, feedback, we definitely encourage you to go ahead and write us at blessed_handmaidens@yahoo.com. It is at this time of the show that we call it the Dear Sister Letters, and basically what that is that we pull one of the letters from those of you who have written us, and we read it on the show, and hopefully you are listening, and we give some feedback in response to the letter. And that actually also helps us on the show, too, because it kind of helps us kind of ease on in into our final segment. So definitely don't forget about that. So tonight, once again, we are discussing Woman on a Mission, and there has been some powerful commentary from the panel tonight on just what a woman's mission is. We are discussing pretty much every level, and we talked about your individual purpose on an everyday basis, waking up and having a purposeful driven life, you know, waking up and just having something that you can do every day to move you closer to your goal and to help to perfect any aspect of your life that is not where you need it to be, any attributes that you have that does not, you know, that you know is not where it needs to be. You know, maybe you need to work on patience, or maybe you need to work on not cussing your man out, or whatever it is that you're trying to perfect. So we talked about it from that level as well, but also on the grand scheme of things, the woman's role and her mission as helpmate and as partner, as wife, as mother, as sister, as daughter within the whole of the community, and how her commitment to submission and helping and nurturing helps the nation as a whole. So we, you know, from the smallest to the greatest. And so let's go ahead and finish our conversation tonight, ladies. Just any aspect that we haven't touched on yet, let's go ahead and put that out there on the table. Once again, we're talking about Woman on a Mission.
You know, one thing I wanted to, you know, a brief testimony really quick. So, you know, things go on in everyday life, you know, sometimes, you know, and let me just say this. All the time, not sometime, y'all will always place you where you need to be, you know. And what I mean by that is, you know, at one point I thought, you know, part of my mission was to work, to have an income coming in, you know. And I was a little distraught because I had to let my job go, you know. Come to find out, fast forward, that, you know, behold, my part of my mission was to be of service to my family, meaning I need to be home in a position so that I can help everybody else, you know, to get through their day and to do what they have to do. You know, my husband, my daughter, you know, my grandchildren. So I had to understand that even if it's just temporarily for right now, my mission doesn't require me to work because I'm needed, most importantly, at home first. You know, sometimes we, you know, when things, doors close, we think, oh, this is the end, this is gloom and doom. No, that part of your mission is over. You may be getting moved to another mission, you know, and all the time it may not seem like it's what needs to be done at that time, but hey, Yah knows and sees all. He's a better planner than we are.
Right. Man, I'm glad you brought that up because that's something that we cannot forget, we cannot neglect, and we cannot downplay, is that our service to our husbands and to our family is directly, listen to what I'm saying, directly connected to our service to Yah. And so for you to give us that testimony about your decision to go ahead and be where you're needed is very powerful, because even though as women we, you know, of course you have to, you know, of course you have to walk your walk, you know, you have to make sure that you're studying and you have to make sure that you're praying and meditating and all of that, but we cannot downplay, and we cannot neglect to mention that your service to that household has a lot to do with your work with Yah. It has a lot to do with it. So I'm glad that you.
And you know what, EC, and I'm glad you know, because you made something else come up. Sometimes as women, when we're in that professional setting, you know, not all the time, but sometimes we can become really headstrong, you know, and we have to also understand that when we have no humility, sometimes we have to be taught humility so that we can accept our mission. And sometimes when you're outside and you're working outside of the home, you get too big for your britches, and you need to be brought down so that you can understand what's most important in this mission that you're on. And sometimes finances is not the priority. You know, sometimes you have to be brought down so that you can understand your position in this walk, your position in life, your position as a woman.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
That's right. And, you know, speaking on the opposite side of the perspective, you know what I'm saying? I work outside of the home in a very, very corporate setting. And, you know, definitely, Zariah, I identify with, you know, other women, and not just the so-called African-American woman, the black woman, Hebrew woman. I encounter all different kinds of women, you know, white women, Hispanic women, Asian women. And truly, you know, what society has that what society right now is teaching the young woman professional is that she is supposed to be on top. You know, that she is supposed to be, if not equal to a man, she's supposed to be smarter, she's supposed to be better, you know, stronger, wittier, all of that. You know, you are supposed to be, you know, up there. Nobody's supposed to touch you. You have to be the best of the best. And let me tell you
exactly.
Something. I say hallelujah, because a lot of women at my job don't understand me. And the reason why they don't understand me is because I understand the meaning of service. So a lot of my qualities, my ability to be humble, my ability to be quiet, my ability to be obedient and go with the flow and basically follow directions, accept the authority that's in front of me and do what I need to do, they don't necessarily understand that that sets me apart from them. So my career and my success, now, I may not be at the head of the table with you, but you best believe that they see me in a different light and I'm set apart because they know that I have a unique mission, that I don't mind falling in line. And, you know, a lot of us get that twisted. You know, a few years ago I had to explain that to one of my coworkers because, see, she really didn't understand why the girl who was less, quote-unquote, book smart, who didn't have a college degree, who was kind of sort of, you know, not up to the part, didn't wear the business suit. She didn't understand why this young lady always got the promotion and why whenever there was a bonus or whenever there was a special project, why management came to her. But see, the difference between that young lady and the other one is that this young lady understood service. She understood authority. She understood that she had a unique place within the mission of the organization. So the authority didn't mind coming to her and putting more things in her hands. So although she might have been less book smart than the other, trust me, she held more favor. She had more skill. And these are the kinds of qualities, ladies, that we have to remember to bring into the world, because this is what's going to set you apart. This is what's going to make you so special. This is what's going to make your light shine, because, see, it's something about you. People are going to want to know why you can have all of this and be so happy and you still do all of this. People are going to wonder why. That is the woman's mission.
I love that. I love that, because you just actually brought us into a whole new perspective, a whole new sphere that I think we often forget about, is that you said this woman understands authority. That's powerful because it's beyond your individual household, and not only does it go with your respect to authority when in relation to your husband's authority, in relation to the brother's authority, but even when you're out there interacting with the world, wise as a serpent and innocent as a dove, all governing authority
That's right.
is under Yah's authority. So, like, there's so much to what you said, Akoti, and I'm really glad that you brought that up. That puts, like, a whole new understanding to it right there. Just she understands authority. That's, ladies, you got to understand authority. Like, Zariah, you talked about that humility. Like, there's a lot of different sides to humility. We really need to learn how to be meek, like, for real.
And you know, everything that you said was so powerful. And what popped into my mind is of the system that ultimately breaks down the so-called African-American family is to make the woman believe that she's more powerful than the man. She's in a position and, you know, she doesn't need his authority. She's the authority, you know, because she has this high position in this corporate organization. And so once again, like I said, her head becomes strong, and then, hey, there you go. That's the breakup of the family, because all of a sudden, since you got this high position and the folks telling you that you're this and you're that, it automatically pops in your mind that you don't need the authority of a man anymore. So it's all designed. And we as women on the mission can't afford to get caught up in that. We have to keep the first things first. And the first things first is Yahoshua, husband, family.
Indeed. Indeed, and let me tell you something. A lot of these women up in this corporate setting, y'all, they ain't got nobody to go home to. I'm just letting y'all know. Now,
and
they
guess
might
what?
Be
they're
all
not, they
pretty.
Don't have no protection.
Absolutely. They may be all pretty and their hair is lustrous and they got these beautiful clothes and these red bottom shoes. They looking good and, I mean, they smelling good. They got, I mean, just when you look at them, it's like, wow, she's gorgeous and she really got it going on. But that sister really might be hurting on the inside and she doesn't understand why. And it's because she's lost the focus of her mission.
That's
exactly.
Real right there.
She's
with
aborted,
the, you know.
She's aborted her mission. Exactly.
Yeah. What they say, you're getting too big for your britches. You know?
Right.
So, like, I mean, that's real, how the authority, because you got to understand, you know, even when we go into the whole feminism aspect of it, and we go into the whole welfare, the role that it plays, and we go into that whole thing, it makes it that much more profound what the ladies are talking about here on, you know, there's something that clicks. You know, women, if we're not careful, go into the corporate or go out there and, you know, we start to take on the authority and we start to think that, you know, we start getting a little too big for our britches, you know, and because, like, there are certain things that even when we go back to, like, you know, the feminist movement and stuff like that, like, you'll notice that single parenting, for example, is a term that really only started to become popular once, you know, white women started raising their children by themselves. But, you know, when black women were doing it, we were what you call, you know, words that I can't say on the radio show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when all of this stuff was going down, it's like there are a lot of things that we understood that the feminist movement and all of this took away from us. You know, we
mm-hmm.
we had two-parent households. We understood authority and submission.
Yeah.
There was a lot because, like, let's not act like captivity stripped us of everything
exactly.
about us. No, we always kept certain cultural aspects of our,
yeah.
our of who we were alive. You know, we understood the man and woman. I mean, the black family unit, as they call it, was strong back in those days, 50s and 60s and stuff like that. There wasn't anything wrong with what we were doing until we started to try and mimic what other people were doing, you know. And so,
exactly.
We lost that joy. You know, we lost that joy. We lost that contentment. We lost it. We allowed the glitz, the glamour, the fame, and the fortune to entice us and to withdraw us from what we're really supposed to do. You know, I mean, that's just really what we needed to do. And the thing is, you know, what about your mission is unique. And it's unique because it's especially for you. It's only for you. And it's like you can't feel bad. You can't feel ill. You know, if serving your family makes you feel good, you know, there's nothing. The rush that I get coming from work to home, rushing in my kitchen, taking off my shoes, putting on my flip-flops, and cooking dinner for my family, it brings me so much joy. So I can't let the next sister at my job tell me the next day, girl, you had to go home and cook, and you work from 9 to 5. You know what I'm saying? See that really don't mean nothing to me, see, because I know that's my mission because it makes me fulfilled. So don't let society and you know, all of these different kind of adversaries come in and strip you from the mission that's going to bring you fulfillment.
Exactly. You know, and I was listening to what EC said. My grandmother was a housewife to a husband who provided, protected, and she was under his authority. And she didn't even understand, you know, all of what we understand right now today. But that's just how things was. You know, and we can't forget that the feminist movement was started by in lonely Gentile housewives, and that's just what it is.
Yeah.
They wanted to work.
Yeah.
They wanted to work because they was tired of being housewives. They didn't want to be home with the children. You know, they didn't want to take part in none of that. They wanted to have the same independence that their husbands had. You know, and we took it to a whole nother level. to the point where our houses are manless and the street is full of homeless men.
That's it. That's it. And you know what's so crazy about it? That now that we have basically converted to doing the ways that doing the things that the nations have been doing, now that we've converted into doing what they wanted us to do, when, like, okay, when we, you know, we are encouraged to separate from our men, but that's not necessarily the same thing when it comes to, let's face it, just white, so-called white families. They go on welfare.
Exactly.
She go on welfare, and she bring the resources back home, and she go to college, and she graduate, or she drop out, and she bring that back home. But we go and we keep it to ourselves and say, "Nah, nigga, go and get out of here." So we, like, it is crazy. You know, we've been taught to be separated, even though the people who taught us to do that don't do that themselves. They go, you know, that woman, she go out and work and bring the resources back, and together they share it. You go out and you say you can do bad all by yourself. You know what I'm saying? Even though the person who taught you, who you're mimicking, ain't doing it. Like, it's so, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. And the system will help you as long as you don't have a man in your house. See, what the so-called white people do is they go down there and they put themselves, their children, and their man on the system. You know, somehow they convince us, listen, I'm going to give you what you need, but you can't have a man nowhere in sight. Matter of fact, I'm going to come do monthly checks, and if I see any man's shoes in there, you're going to lose your voucher.
That's it. That's real. That is real. You know, my mama was on welfare. You know, we lived in the projects. You know, my uncle did hide in the closet. We ain't sitting here talking about something we heard about, and we just researched and Googled it. No, we live this. This is real. This is real.
Exactly.
And you're right, Zariah. They do go in there, put the whole family on there. I mean, I've seen at the welfare office, I've seen them with their whole family. I've seen it, and yet, and then on the other side of the spectrum, what you see, black women with a whole bunch of kids and no man in sight.
Exactly, exactly, because the system has become their man. Their mission is to be independent. You know, they don't want to be under the authority of Yah. They don't want to be under the authority of a man. So this is what independence has gotten them, you know, single parenthood. You know, and it's not always the woman's fault, but we need to understand, recognize, and accept our position and accept our mission, and every day wake up as a woman of Yah on a mission, as a woman on a mission. Today I have to accomplish this before the sun goes down, even if it's something different than the day before, something to bring you closer to perfection, something to bring you closer to your mission, because our mission is to perfect all areas of our lives.
That's it. And what a perfect way to go ahead and come to a close. Zariah, go ahead and give us some final words if you have them, and we're going to leave you with that.
Hey, honestly, ladies, I say hallelujah for tonight's topic. I pray that it's been a blessing to everyone. It's been a blessing to me. You know, may Yah allow this to put things back into perspective into your lives. Continue to be blessed, and peace to your families.
Shalom, ladies, and don't forget to join us every Thursday at 5 o'clock p.m. CST. That is it for us tonight. Shalom, Yah bless, and we're going to go out with Yoshaya Role Model. See you next week. Shalom.
I ain't talking about the way that she clothes. She's a role model, role model. She keeps the law everywhere that she goes. She's a role model, role model.
Come on,
role model. She's sashays and palm. Both a little, then they give her an applause. She's sashays and palm.
Got to be more.
more careful. Ain't another woman in the world that compares to you, Miss Righteous, set apart guidance, type of quality the brother needs, that's dying. Style is unique, but the way that you speak, sometimes you match tassels to be that sheep. And she never watched the real world, cause she know about the real world. And you're so real, girl. Not one of these silly little girls. A helper, a shelter. Trying to win it with your ice, she'll melt you. She hip to it, hip to it, hip to it. If a man needs something, she skip to it, skip to it. Wise, intelligent, intelligent. Never runway shows, that's irrelevant. I ain't talking about the way that she clothes. She's a role model, role model. She keeps the law everywhere that she goes. She's a role model, role model. She fashions them palms, both a little than they give her in the flaw. She fashions them palms, both a little than they give her in the flaw. The kingdom on her mind, and I'm the king on her mind. She helped me when I fall down, now I'll be stronger for the next time. Help me to my fullest abilities. And ooh, the way that she walk, give me stability. She in the building like reality. My foundation to help me build a better me. And I love her like cheddar cheese. That's what I told her, like I'm Chuck E. Cheese. Sucker free. She hotter than some leather sleeves in the summer in Mozambique. Now maybe she was born with it. I'm feeling lost in the world and being foreign did it. It don't matter cause I'm all for it. If he ain't a stand up guy, she don't fall for it. I ain't talking about the way that she clothes. She's a role model, role model. She keeps the law everywhere that she goes. She's a role model, role model. She sashays and palms, both a little than they give her in the flaw. She sashays and palms, both a little by the not the ones at the fashion show. She's a role model, role model. I can dare to put a ring in her nose. She's a role model, role model. She sashays and palms, both a little than they give her in the flaw. She sashays and palms, both a little by the ladies, listen and take notes. Virtuous women to be your coach. You might can learn a little something. Might turn to a little woman. One day inherit the earth to be a runway. Maybe meet the top role model one day. A role model when your host, she was a role model. So every time you see her, you say go model. I ain't talking about the way that she clothes. She's a role model, role model. She keeps the law everywhere that she goes. She's a role model, role model. She fashions and palms, both a little than they give her in the flaw. She fashions and palms, both a little, both a little. Not the ones at the fashion show. She's a role model, role model. I can better put a ring in her nose. She's a role model, role model. She fashions and palms, both a little than they give her in the flaw. She fashions and palms, both a little, both a little.
The Blessed Handmaidens of Yah and Yahoshua is the women's ministry of Israelite heritage, brought to you by the Israelite Heritage Radio Network, hosted through blogtalkradio.com.